5 things to know if you're 30 and single. Now, this applies to anybody who's on the single journey becoming married, but I think there's a particular type of person who's developing understanding of who they are, you know, the fact that they have some convictions, even if they don't know exactly what those are, that they want to be married and that they know it's a promise that God's put on their heart, but they don't maybe necessarily see all the pieces coming together, that it could be something that's a reality. And there can be a lot of hopelessness that comes with that, especially if you've gone through heartbreak or maybe you've had some close misses. And I want to share this video because it was on my heart. Relationships have been a huge part of my journey. I've worked with people over the years as well as they're navigating relationships. I've seen people go from the I'm heartbroken to now I'm happily married, whether they're in their 30s and sometimes even in their 40s or later. And so I just want to encourage you guys with 5 things to know. Share this with somebody if you think of them and you think it'll encourage them. Leave a comment if something resonated with you. But the first thing is focus on what's within your control. And this is really important because in relationships, a lot of times people get this confused. We've learned to have, from poor patterns of the past, we've learned to take responsibility for things that aren't ours, including maybe other people's opinions of us, or I'm not going to get into all that. But in relationships, you are not able to change somebody. And you may be able to influence them, but even that requires their permission. So in relationships, you know, you got to recognize you have partial control over the situation at any given time. You have partial control. I'm talking two adult, you know, grown adults. And so for me, I'm thinking about it like, all right, what's the first thing somebody needs to remember? It's like, you got to focus on what's within your control. And that may mean like, if you wake up in the morning, you're like, I got to get married. It's like, that is not in your full control. There is partial control in that you can maybe focus on the person you're becoming and somebody who's available and ready for marriage. And I'll talk a little bit about what that means in a second. But you're not responsible for like, you know, going out and calling that person in and convincing them that they're your wife or they're your husband. You know, you need to be taking care of business in your own life. And so in the absence of having somebody there in front of you right now, what you can be doing is taking care of yourself, working on your health, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, getting your finances in order, developing understanding of your convictions, who you're becoming, walking with God, working with God, all of these things. Like, this is a part of the journey, and those are the things you can be focused on. It's a good use of your time because you're going to be the type of person that you're going to become is going to be somebody who someone else is going to be like, dang, you know, I'm really impressed by that. And you're going to be, I think, just in a better position to be able to navigate what a healthy relationship can look like. So very important, especially maybe if you haven't had some, if you haven't had some good examples of relationships in the past and you're on that journey of figuring that out, yet maybe you haven't had good models or good examples, you know, learning what healthy relationships look like, that can be a part of that process of focusing on what's within your control. And that requires you learning and being humble and open-minded and saying, I may not know. So that's the first thing, focus on what's within your control. Second thing, go on the healing journey if you haven't already. This is so important, but there are so many people still living their college days, still living in denial about the suffering and difficulty they've gone through in their lives. I'm using these as different examples. They're still living in kind of like, let's just hang out with the crew and have a good time. Nothing wrong with hanging out, having a good time. Nothing wrong with, you know, enjoying your life and, you know, filling your schedule with let's do this on the weekend or let's go there. But like, the real work, honestly, whether it's now or later, is the healing work, the heart work. And, you know, I said earlier to get healthy, the first 4 letters of health are heal. And we all have something that we need to heal from. If healing is not a part of your vocabulary already, that is going to be like the number one thing that is most important on your journey. So if you haven't, you know, gone through counseling, you've never talked with a counselor, you've never talked with a coach, you've never talked with, you know, somebody who can help you kind of process the different things in your life, the narratives that you've had, strongly encourage that. If you haven't, more importantly, if you haven't ever sat down and like read the Bible for yourself and said, like, who is Jesus? What did he say? Do I believe it to be true? Really, really important things. And if you have, maybe you grew up in cultural Christianity, you know a lot of the Bible, but maybe it hasn't like sunk in as a reality in your heart, okay? Because head knowledge is different than heart understanding. These are parts of the journey where God, when you let him in, he starts to do the real transforming. And it says in the Bible, we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's been my journey. And that's been the journey for a lot of people that I've walked with and worked with. And that's a process of first recognizing, oh, there's been some challenges or difficulty in life, and I got to kind of work through those things as I'm thinking about my future, because I don't want to repeat the past in these poor patterns or unhealthy patterns of behavior. I want to start it not better than my parents. I don't want to stop my past, you know, my past cycle from where my parents were. I don't want to just be better than my parents. I want to start with a clean slate with God's original design for me. And that's a very different understanding. It's not just, oh, I want to, you know, be two steps better than where my parents left me. It's like, no, I want an original design. God had an original intention for me. And that's where I want to start. And that's the healing journey. So number one is focus on what's within your control. Two, go on the healing journey if you haven't already. Number three, and this is really important, but on the healing journey, you're going to understand how to develop convictions and what your convictions truly are. And this is important because as you develop your convictions, you have value system. And for me, frankly, one of the things that's been challenging is that I've always been a person who would describe myself as like somebody who holds values or has values, but there were certain things that maybe I lacked conviction in because I still needed healing. I had things in my past that were difficult, maybe even deliverance that was needed. I say maybe, I mean definitely. So, you know, I went through this journey of really navigating like, no, what are my standards? What are my standards? And that's more than just your values. That's like, no, this is who I'm becoming and who God has made me to be. And these are choices I get to make every single day, non-negotiables in my life. And that's a process. It's not like you just wake up and, okay, there it is. But it's really important because as you start to engage in relationships, and this is something that was so beautiful in my story. You know, when I was engaging in a relationship and pursuing my now wife, one of the things that stood out to me is that she had standard and conviction, but she never made me feel bad for it. And like, that was refreshing and also super attractive for me because I was like, wait a second. Like, I'm used to when somebody has a conviction, they make me feel bad for it. But she was so clear on what her convictions are. Even if there were certain things she was still wrestling through, she would acknowledge it. But she was so clear on what her convictions are or were. And she was so secure in who she was, even though she had insecurities, she was so secure in who she was that she didn't have to make me feel bad for it just to defend her convictions. You know, she was just honest. She was like, this is what mine are. I'm open-handed with them. Like, you don't have to take them, but these are the convictions I have. And I was then, because of her strength and her convictions, I was then forced to look at her and go, why does she think that way? And I still like, you know, want to talk with her. Why does she believe that? And I'm not like offended. And there were so many things that really shaped and molded me in that process. God was really using the security he placed in her and her identity to help me become the man that he's made me to be, where I would be forced to ask some of these hard questions like, do I really believe that? Do I really believe in, you know, the pursuit of the woman and the courtship process and, you know, no sex before marriage and, you know, other things, no other things before marriage and why? And purity, like, what does purity mean? Like, do I believe in some of these things and why? Even if it was a struggle at different times. And that's just one example, but, you know, whether it was money or, you know, how to think about things. And there was, at the time when we started dating, there was an election process. So there was a lot of things going on. The presidential election stuff was going on. And so we were talking about that. And I was like, I remember some of the things she would say. I was like, I don't understand why you believe that way, because it aligned with all the things I was, you know, in preconceived in my mind to make judgments about her. Oh, you come from this background, so therefore you obviously think that way. but the way she would respond to me out of conviction and security and being open-handed and not forcing me to believe anything made me question my own beliefs. And I was like, whoa, wait a second here. Like, there's something different about this person. So develop your convictions. And that's a part of understanding who God made you to be and his value system for you, his standards for you. And I always talk about this in the context of the person you're becoming. So if you don't have a clear vision of the person you're becoming, that's one way you can be doing this. But yeah, developing your convictions, really important. Number three. So number one, focus on what's within your control. Number two, go on the healing journey. As a part of that, number three, develop your convictions, focus on the person you're becoming, get clear on that. Number four, this one's a little bit different, I guess you could say, but know your standards, not just for yourself, but for somebody else, okay? But throw away your expectations. All right, this is a tough one to describe, so I'm gonna do the best I can. So when you have expectations for somebody, it's like if they don't meet them, there's disappointment and maybe they can feel shame and condemnation and all these other things. Back to the beginning where I said you don't have control over somebody. And by the way, you might not even be able to influence them because it first requires their permission. It's like when you have standards for somebody, you see them and treat them for the person you know God's made them to be. And it doesn't mean you overlook sin or challenges they're facing or things they're working through, maybe on their own healing journey. But it does mean that you call them higher when you see them acting as the person they're not. And that's the best way I can describe having standards without expectations. And again, this is just from my journey. Like, one of the things that my wife did so beautifully is she, as I look back, I mean, I'm such a different person today. I'm who I am, you know, all along, but I truly am a different person. God has really made me, shaped me, molded me into the person, more of the person that he's made me to be, in large part through my relationship with him and my relationship with my wife, and him in her really just impacted me because I would see him in her and I was like, man, I want more of that. So in that process of being in relationship with my wife, whether it was first dating, then engaged, then married, in that process, I would see, wow, like, I would do things and I would know that's not who I am, but I didn't know why I was doing it. And she met me with understanding and compassion and would encourage me to be who I am. Rather than pointing out all the things that I wasn't, she was pointing out all the things that I truly was, who she saw I truly was. And that is like, I don't hear people talking about that, maybe because I'm not on like relationship YouTube videos, but that is so important. You have to be able to identify who the person is in God's eyes and call them up rather than calling them out. You know, when you call people out all the time, they just feel that shame, condemnation, and it's like, I'm never good enough. But when you call them up, you call them higher to the person God has made them to be through encouragement, through highlighting things, through calling out the gold in them. It's so much more powerful, and it's really changing, like, to a person, to their heart, because maybe nobody in their life has ever done that, and they're fighting, you know, now 3 decades, 4 decades or more of patterns of behaviors and identity that, you know, they've been molded and shaped into, come into agreement with. It's not who they truly are. So you got to have a little grace and recognize, like, you know, they've had 3+ decades of this identity and they maybe want to change, and you'll notice signs of that progress, but, you know, that change is going to take some time. So you being patient, understanding, and seeing who they truly are in God's eyes, it's going to be really, really helpful. So that's number four, is have standards, but throw away your expectations. Maybe even I'd add to that is, like, really look at them through the perspective of how God sees them and call them higher. So that's number four. Number one, focus on what's within your control. Number two, go on the healing journey. Number three, develop your convictions, focus on the person you're becoming. Number four, have standards, throw away your expectations, see them how God sees them. And number five is the last one, could probably talk for a lot longer, but I'll keep it to this. Yeah, I was asking my wife, like, what would you say to somebody? And she said, serve people. Because when you get to a certain age, you become really selfish. You become really like, oh, this is who I am. And other people need to meet me at this place in my life. And if they don't, then, you know, forget them. And you know, even to the point of, as you develop your convictions, you're like, oh, no, I'm not into that. I don't do that. But she was like, you know, people need to stay humble. And one of the ways to stay humble is you serve people. And so what I would say, number five, is really serve people and put yourself in environments with people who are going to bring out the person you're becoming. Even if they're not single, even if they're married, you know, put yourself in environments that are going to help you grow into the person you're becoming. You're going to find yourself around other people who see that, know that, and even think of other people who are like that. And you're not going to go wrong putting yourself in those environments. And if those environments are, you know, places where you can serve people, that's fine. But it doesn't have to be like a volunteer organization. You know, a church, okay, that's fine. And you can serve people through a church. But I mean, the church is the people, the body of people, not just a physical building. And so for you being able to go out and just serve people in life, that's going to be really helpful for you in keeping you right in your mind. And then I think it's also helpful to just, in your core group of people that you're surrounding yourself with, I think it's really helpful for you to put yourself in an environment where people are going to call you higher, and that are going to help you become the person that you know God has made you to be. Because as you're going through this identity transformation, becoming that person, healing all of these things, developing your convictions, you're going to want to be around people who are seeing you for who you are and who you're becoming rather than who you've been. And that's really hard for people, especially as you're trying to break out of old patterns. So those are the five things for anybody who's 30 and single. Again, if that was helpful to you, leave a comment. Let me know. I'd love to hear what was important or relevant. But if somebody comes to mind, even more important, if somebody comes to mind and you're like, man, they need to hear this, just go ahead and share it with them. You are not in a place of hopelessness. I've seen many, many people go through this journey that I'm talking about, and they're successfully married. And I would say successfully married, not because of their own strength, but because of what God has done in their life and their willingness to go on that journey with Him. So I'm one of those testimonies. So I speak from my personal experience, but also just seeing other people go through their journey. And I hope that blesses you.